Continuing Helen Wright's book, Mary Baker Eddy, Leader Forever.
Instead of spiritually educating students to be powerful leaders in Christian Science through an understanding of the woman of prophecy and training young people to become leaders in explaining the second coming of the Christ, young people are taught the official Boston line about the ingeniously contrived legal settlement concerning the board of directors. Considering this rampant dishonesty, is it surprising that these revered, time-honored schools are concerned about lack of enrollment? If Christian Science schools defended her, whom they acknowledge as their leader, there would be no need for concern about enrollment. If any schools in the world should be renowned for the daunting depth and breadth of their scholarship, for powerful insight, for vigor in defense of truth and individual freedom, it should be the Christian Science schools. But sadly, this is not the case. It were well if the faculty daily reminded themselves of Mrs. Eddy's instruction, when anyone tries to argue in justification of error to cover it up against their honest convictions, it fills me with righteous indignation beyond any other form of error. Mrs. Eddy's statement deserves to be repeated over and over again. Surely in these schools, children should be taught that we progress in Christian Science when our lives are dedicated to truth and are focused, disciplined. But as usual, when things sound easy, it often turns out there was one part we didn't hear. Having said that, let's rejoice in a fact that's not lost in all this doom and gloom, namely, how the exposing and clobbering of the machinations of the Boston hierarchy by the disenchanted, disillusioned church membership has been in accordance with her church manual provisions, Article 1, Section 9. We can't recall too often that after Mrs. Eddy's passing, there was no mother church. This, of course, gradually, gracefully left only Christian Science societies to go on forever. The manual sets no restrictions on Christian Science societies. They can continue as long as needed. Why would the time come when even branch churches would cease to exist? Answer, because the manual provided that readers in branch churches must be members of the mother church. Manual, page 32. And also, to form a branch church, four of the Christian Scientists must be members of the mother church. Manual, page 73. What does this mean? This was Mrs. Eddy's method of phasing out all material organization, including branch churches. Why? How? After December 1910, certainly by June 1911, there was no mother church, since no officer could be elected without Mrs. Eddy's consent or permission, given in her own handwriting. So in order to qualify for readership in a branch church today, one would have to be at least 94 years of age or older. This is so because if you were 12 in 1910, the age you could join, and June 1911 ended the mother church's existence, today you would be about 94, right? Thus, the manual eliminated all organization, recommending that we, quote, meet in unity in societies, preferring one another and demonstrating the divine principle of Christian Science. Miscellaneous Writings, page 6. Organization, with its man-made laws, was finished. With mathematics, for example, we would not attempt to thrust in personal beliefs and opinions. We are content to observe the facts of the subject as they prove themselves. And remember, when learning music or math, we are only removing our own ignorance on the subject. Catholicism, Protestantism, Christian Science. True equality of man and woman will not be realized until one holds in consciousness true pictures of God's two witnesses, Jesus and Mary Baker Eddy. Most of Christendom has acknowledged God's manhood, but even Christian Scientists in general have yet to acknowledge God's womanhood. So the warfare against womanhood continues, as graphically depicted in Mrs. Eddy's own handwriting in a notebook she kept. The short article is entitled Catholicism, Protestantism, Christian Science. It says in part, "Each religion, defined by what the words include, is right, but fatally wrong and wronged in its interpretation by the world, the flesh, and the devil. The woman has cast into these three measures of iniquity the leaven that is fermenting them. Therefore they, inherit in mortal mind, take vengeance on their destroyer. Not one of these three religions, misused, is the rock on which Christ's truth builds the church, against which the gates of hell cannot prevail. And the last one is named the final one. Therefore, it holds the most relentless war against the woman." Mrs. Eddy foresaw that so-called Christian Scientists who failed to see her as the woman of prophecy would be the ones that would, quote, "hold the most relentless war against the woman," unquote. It is recorded that when Mary Baker Eddy's followers wanted to inscribe on the wall at the entrance to the Mother Church building, quote, "within these walls you will hear truth proclaimed," unquote, Mrs. Eddy emphatically stated no. "The time may come when truth will not be proclaimed within these walls." It is also recorded that on her one and only drive to view the Mother Church building with its extension, she suddenly had a clear vision of the evil that would befall this great symbol of spirit and of spiritual truth. So dire and penetrating was the vision, it gave her a severe physical problem to meet. This is told by the author, Mr. Carpenter Sr. Mrs. Eddy was well aware that the number one priority of the Antichrist would be to bury her. As the discoverer, founder, demonstrator, and leader of Christian Science, she became the main target in her lifetime. And she knew that after she was no longer personally present to do the required spiritual knowing and realization, the enemy's campaign to destroy all memory of her would be stepped up. Mother Church versus Smother Church. That she accurately foresaw this priority of the enthroned antagonist is amply proven by the actions of the entrenched hierarchy. Consider just a few of the actions of the enthroned assailant. We can see how right she was. Upon Mrs. Eddy's leaving, the campaign to demean, denigrate, and destroy all memory of her began immediately with the announcement to the press that the board, which the manual bylaws had terminated, would be Mrs. Eddy's successor. Girding for an all-out assault on Mrs. Eddy's authority, a new church manual was immediately issued. This new manual, the 89th, the only one sold in Christian Science reading rooms since 1911, totally undermined Mrs. Eddy's inspired intent, as we have previously explained. When the board was unwilling to obey the bylaws as Mrs. Eddy wrote them, legal opinion was allowed to overrule these God-impelled bylaws. As the ecclesiastical juggernaut rolled on, Mrs. Eddy's picture was removed from the final uncopyrighted edition of Science and Health. Pictures of Mrs. Eddy were removed from Christian Science reading rooms, as well as books presenting her in a favorable light. Recently, in order for the church to qualify for the $97 million BlissNAP bequest, a few books favorable to Mrs. Eddy are being restored. Wholesale excommunications and the threat of them silenced many of the more spiritual-minded Christian Scientists capable of leading the movement forward. the beautiful granite memorial marker at Bow, New Hampshire, Mrs. Eddy's birthplace, was dynamited. Reason? The board noted that too many people were visiting it. Her home at Concord was sold for use as an insane asylum. Here Mrs. Eddy had spent nearly two decades tirelessly laboring for humanity. Here she issued 380 editions of Science and Health, all of her 88 manuals, all editions of Christ and Christmas, nearly all of what we have in her wonderful prose works, besides writing thousands of letters and carrying on endless other duties. Perhaps the greatest wrong done Mrs. Eddy was the breaking of her publishing society deed of trust and the taking over by the self-appointed hierarchy. This was the publishing medium Mrs. Eddy had set up for the propagation of Christian Science throughout the world, as she taught it. To compound the injury done to both Mrs. Eddy and her followers, the hierarchy instituted the grossly damaging, quote, authorized literature policy of 1916. Obviously, their intent was to control what was published in the Christian Science periodicals. This deplorable strategy kept the field frozen where it was in 1910, instead of being kept abreast of the times. The Christian Science Monitor steadily refused to take ads for books favorable to Mary Baker Eddy, while it reviewed books extremely false and detrimental to her. These items constitute only the tip of the iceberg. These and many other demeaning actions were followed by the board's imprisonment of Science and Health via the imposition of copyright. Only through the successful legal action of the United Christian Scientists and their courageous chairman was Science and Health set free. Mrs. Eddy did not copyright her final edition of Science and Health. The board, deceitfully, craftily, renewed a copyright on the 1906 edition when it expired and passed it off as a copyright on the uncopyrighted final edition. The final 1910 edition contained far-reaching, vital changes. Mrs. Eddy did not remove her picture. That Mary Baker Eddy did not remove her picture as the frontispiece to Science and Health can be seen from the following facts. The 1910 December Christian Science Sentinel carried the following, quote, special announcement, unquote. From the publisher of Mrs. Eddy's works, the Christian Science textbook Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, this work contains important changes and additions by the author. Changes added after the final copyrighted 1906 edition. Also, a photogravure portrait of Mrs. Eddy, together with a facsimile of her signature. This announcement ran in the early December 1910 issue of the Sentinel, at the time Mary Baker Eddy left the human scene. Alice Orgain, who began her writings on Mary Baker Eddy in the late 1920s, asked the board of directors for proof that Mrs. Eddy herself had her picture removed. The archives of the Mother Church were meticulously searched, but no trace could be found explaining why her picture had been removed. The board of directors finally told Alice Orgain that Mrs. Eddy must have orally instructed that her picture be removed. I am told that today, if visitors to the Mother Church archives ask concerning the removal of Mrs. Eddy's picture, they are quickly shown letters by both Fry and Dickey purporting to be directives for Mrs. Eddy to remove her picture. These letters are obvious forgeries. They were not there in the 1920s. Nor do they hold up historically, since for over 40 years, Mrs. Eddy's own handwritten approval was absolutely required for any changes in Science and Health. Why, in this vital case, should that standard be changed? In Mrs. Eddy's definition of veil from Science and Health, she says, "The great Nazarene, as meek as he was mighty, rebuked the hypocrisy which offered long petitions for blessings upon material methods, but cloaked the crime latent in thought, which was ready to spring into action and crucify God's anointed. The uncopyrighted 1907 edition, Attorneys Consulted. Christian Science is not copyrighted. Retrospection, page 75. Mrs. Eddy did not copyright the 1907 edition of Science and Health, in which she had made cardinal, all-important changes, such as to her definition of God, on which her whole divine science depended. See Helen Wright's book, If Mary Baker Eddy's Manual Were Obeyed, page 108. She had consulted her attorneys and was informed by them that a work containing her picture over her signature would, from a legal standpoint, protect her writing. So a further copyright was not necessary. She had reduced her divine metaphysics to a system, and it did not need copywriting any more than the multiplication table in mathematics needs copywriting. Advanced students in Christian Science are today beginning to see this system that has seven synonyms for God which operate through the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. Just as in mathematics, the 10 digits operate through addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. Or as in music, the 7 notes operate through tone, rhythm, melody, and harmony. Mrs. Eddy never sought the applause of men. The kind of domination rampant today cannot tolerate having what it considers the specter of Mary Baker Eddy. She is an embarrassment to them and an obstacle to the respectability they seek in the realm of mainline religions and academia. As with Jesus, so it was with Mrs. Eddy. Her mission was to vindicate a principle, not a person, while the highest ambition of those who usurped her place seems to be the applause of men. A recent letter of resignation in Boston dutifully denounced the Knapp book and spoke of the dread felt when hearing Christian Science referred to recently as a cult, all supposedly because of the Knapp book, which, by the way, tells the truth about Mary Baker Eddy when read by those who know that Christian Science can only grow and prosper in the field among humble individuals, aflame with spiritual understanding and the love which alone can heal. This is from The Banner. Mrs. Eddy was not unaware that a massive campaign was being plotted to destroy her and her work. However, she wrote, "A siege of the combined centuries, culminating in fierce attack, cannot demolish our strongholds. The forts of Christian Science, garrisoned by God's chosen ones, can never surrender." That's from Miscellany. Today's requirement is that we heed Mrs. Eddy's admonition to speak louder and more often in defense of the truth about her. There are countless good men in the world. We only wish they had louder voices. The enemy's first priority, to hide Mrs. Eddy's true identity. In a letter to Mr. Edward Kimball, CSB, Mrs. Eddy wrote, "For the world to understand me in my true light and life would do more for our cause than aught else could." Why? Because if we see that she demonstrated that infinite good God was her mind, then we too can learn through her teaching that infinite good is our mind also, here and now. This I learn from the fact that the enemy tries harder to hide these two things than to win any other points. Also, Jesus' life and character in their first appearing were treated in like manner. And I regret to see that loyal students are not more awake to this great demand in their measures to meet the enemy's tactics. That's from a letter to Judge Hanna. All the people need to love and adopt Christian Science, Mrs. Eddy said, is a true sense of its founder. In proportion as they have it, will our cause advance. Why? Because then they will be motivated to search, to learn the truth about themselves as having the mind of God here and now. The same mind that Mrs. Eddy had when she wrote Science and Health. There is only one mind. All is infinite mind, your mind, and its manifestation.